Parshas Bahar and Bichlul Pesach and Pre-Shavuos. We're going to be connecting a lot of things that the dots are going to connect, hopefully. So we have the laws of sanctification and redemption of animals, really all the way at the end. The end of almost the last chapter here in 27. And it says like this. If it is the kind of animal that one can bring as an offering to Hashem, whatever part of it given to Hashem. Okay, 10 is the big one. Lord, he shall not exchange it nor substitute it, whether good for bad or bad for good. But if he does substitute one animal for another, then it is a substitute, then it and its substitute shall be holy. The word is tmura, a whole mesechta called tmura. Let's see what article says on bottom. Both, here it goes, he may not exchange the sacred animal for someone else's animal or substitute it for one of his own. Both animals have same sanctity. What happens if a guy does it? And it's, even if he's saying, I don't want the bad animal, I want to upgrade, can't do it as an exchange. Both must be brought as offerings. Although the commandment of the Torah are decrees, it is proper to meditate upon them and seek reasons. This, the reason both animals are sacred in the case of Tamura, is because the Torah plumbs a person's subconscious thoughts and his possible evil inclination. After having sanctified an animal, someone may have changed his mind and feel that he should not have parted with such a valuable asset. He may wish to retrieve it by substituting an inferior animal for it. So the Torah penalizes him by decreeing that both animals are sacred. The same penalty applies even if the substitute is a better animal. Because if people were permitted to substitute, they might feel free to do so in other cases as well. For the same psychological reason that a person may wish to regain control of something he sanctified, the Torah requires that an animal redeemed, an object must have a surcharge of 1/5. Irrelevant for us. The main point is, we have a negative prohibition of do not substitute animal A for animal B. It's called a tmura. And what happens? Both become kodesh. Both become kodesh. Who with tmura say yeah kodesh? Now we're coming up on Rus. And this word, tmurasai, appears a couple times in Rus as well. Should have looked it up here before. Why? Because when Rus, what happens is they here it is. On Rus, Pasuk Zion says, formerly this was done in Israel in cases of redemption and exchange transactions. So what happened was this, Boaz was real as he wanted to marry Rus and perform what some type of ceremony similar to Yibam, and the other guy didn't want to do it. So the Redeemer said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I imperil my own inheritance. Take over my redemption responsibility. That's what he says. So he hands over the future, out realizing the future monarchy to Boaz. And now the author, Shmuel HaNavi, tells us, by the way, what's the deal? Formerly, this was done in Israel in case of redemption and exchange transactions. And it works the word tmura. All matters one would draw off his shoe and give it to another. So not only do we have this week's parsha, which is always read a couple weeks before Shavuos, we spoke about in the past on RabbiHavna.com that really Bichlul Kaisai should have been before Shavuos. But we didn't want to end with the negativity of the admonition. So the rabbi set it up. The Bamidbar comes always in between. Almost every time you're going to have Bamidbar. So if you know what Bichlul Kaisai this week, you know Shavuos is coming up within the next 2 weeks. And that's the way it worked out in almost all cases. So this should have been. Here we have a very clear connection. The end of the Bichlul Kaisai talks about what's called the sanctification and redemption of the animals, the switcheroo. And you see it's mentioned in Rus. Okay, weak connection, but there's a bigger connection. And that is like this. This is a Kabbalistic concept, which we normally don't do on Tuesday nights, but Chaskel's in a great mood tonight. Akiva has his head on straight. We'll try a little bit. And it's from the Shlach HaKadosh. We have said in the past that we are very strict about nicknames in Judaism. Very strict. And when very few people in the history of the world did do we accept as the word HaKadosh, the Holy One, attached to his name. The Shla is one of them. Died, I think, in 1620, if I remember correctly. But around there. He was in Prague, and then he went to Tzisrael. The Shla HaKadosh has phenomenal stuff, doesn't he, Maya? Approbation. But this he does say. He says, in cryptic form, which they already expound upon, that when it comes to creating the David Messianic dynasty, which the story of Rus is about, it's about the creation of, is David considered part of our Judaism because he had maybe a potential negative genetic flaw called the great-grandmother Rus, who came from the Moabite tribe. there was a historical and halachic treatise, is that the word, about the David Malthus. And what the Schloss says is we should know that if you start looking at all the early unions that bring together to create the David dynasty, there's a lot of, on the surface, illicit relations occurred. I'll put it that way. So, for example, the story of Boaz and Ruth, that's an easy one. Boaz marries Ruth when until that moment there was a debate for 400 years at least whether she was, whether a female convert from Ammon and Moab was permitted to marry into the Judaism. Convert, yeah. Marriage, maybe not. And it was decided in the time of David's thing. So David, when Boaz, in Ruth's time, when Ruth married Boaz, as we spoke about in the past, after the marriage, the night of the marriage, Boaz passed away, which gave the opposition tremendous bullets in their guns to prove it wasn't true. David's union, how was David born? Do we know about that Medrash? The Medrash says that at one point, this is why we know it wasn't even decided yet. David's father was unsure about the union based on the fact. Yishai, excellent. Was unsure about the union. He himself, generations later, three or four generations later, said, you know what? Boaz made a ruling. There's a lot of opposition. It's generations later, a lot of, you know, mikvah raid, people writing books, people writing shram, showing it's no good. And he decided he wasn't sure. So what he did was he made a deal with another woman, a maidservant, that he was going to have relations with her, because maidservants don't carry on this negative gene. You have a child that's considered not necessarily Jewish, then you free the maidservant. This is how people do it. If you have a mamzer, God forbid, the child went out of wedlock. One of the ways to do it is you have him marry a maidservant, a question we spoke about a few weeks ago, if you could have that in America, and you have a maidservant, then you free the maidservant, and the child is blemish-free. So it said that Yishai, the Medrash, that Yishai was thinking of doing the same thing. But the maidservant, she realized that, no, she was a holy person. She realized that Yishai's wife was holy. Yishai, by the way, before we speak in the story, which might come off disparagingly, just realized that Yishai is one of the four people in history who died without any sins. And she told his wife, this is the plan. And they did a substitute, like over here. And Yishai was with his wife, unbeknownst to him. And then when his wife became pregnant, unbeknownst to him that he was the father, he shunned David. David, for the first many years of his life, was considered a mamzer. They assumed that his mother had illicit relations because Yishai assumed it wasn't him. And he lived a very hard life early on. He was shunned. That's why when Shmuel shows up to give the anointment to David HaMelech the first time, he's not even with the brothers. He's in the field. And according to some, he's in the field because they didn't consider him anybody. They considered him a mamzer, a child born out of wedlock. When else do we have such a similar story of someone becoming pregnant and the husband didn't realize it was him? Yeah. Yehuda and Tamar. Yehuda and Tamar is the same thing, which, by the way, is the beginning of the David dynasty.
But was Yishai allowed to be with his wife if he thought that she was a sotah?
According to the Medrash, excellent question, Chaskel. He was not with his wife after he noticed she was pregnant with David. We have another case of Yehuda and Tamar, and that we know when Tamar gave birth, that was the beginning of the David dynasty. In fact, in the end of the story of Ruth, how do we end the story of Ruth? Ela told us Peretz. This is the story. These are the generations of Peretz. And you count 10 generations. Peretz, Chetzroin, Ram, Aminadav, Nachshon, that's 5. Salma, Boaz, Ovid, Yishai, David. Yishai is 10 generations. David is 10 generations from Peretz. And who's Peretz, by the way? Peretz was, the story goes that when Tamar was expecting and was about to give birth, a hand came out and they put the string around the hand. They said, oh, this is the firstborn. Then the hand went back in, and then Peretz came out. They said, what's the word Peretz? The nurse, it says, it's an unbelievable story. So Peretz came out, and then it says like this. In Parshas Vayeshev. Hold on. And it came to pass, at the time she gave birth, that behold, there were twins in her womb. And it happened that she gave birth. One put out a hand. The midwife took a crimson thread and tied on his hand, saying, this one emerged first. And it was that the baby drew back his hand, and behold, his brother emerged. And she said, with what strength you asserted yourself. You broke through. And he called his name Peretz. And the commentators asked, right, let's get this straight. The nurse is tying the string. By Tikra, she said, oh, look at that, Paratha, you jumped out. By Yikra, which means a male, you went from a female to a male in the naming of the child. Not, it means the nurse said, oh, look at that, the kid jumped out first. And then Yehuda, it doesn't say, it said he named the kid Peretz. So I ask you a question. If the nurse would have said, oh, beautiful, fat, chubby, wubby baby, would we have named the kid Chubby Wubby? If the nurse would have said, beautiful blue eyes, would we have named the kid Blue Eyes? Just because the kid jumped out and the Batikra, and she said, which you assume means the nurse said, here they say, and she said, Batoymer says, Batoymer ma parat alecha peretz, by Yikshma peretz. Why did you the little kiss with the nurse says? She also said Mazel Tov. We're going to name the kid Mazel Tov. I mean, what's going on here?
You said that it was the nurse that said it. Maybe it was the Shekhinah or Bosco.
Excellent. So, but the point that we are pointing out is that it went from female Batikra to male by Yikra.
What does Batikra mean?
Batoymer, and she said, by Yikra, and he called.
Batoymer is female.
Batoymer is female, and by Yikra is male. So, by Yikra means, and he called the name Peretz. So, Batoymer, she said, Ma Paratz Alecha Peretz, you broke through, and he responded by calling the name Peretz.
Peretz means breakthrough or something?
Peretz means breakthrough. So it's a very odd thing. So, why? Just because the nurse said it, who cares? So, the Midrashim bring down that Yehuda realized, very odd thing that just happened. The hand come out. I mean, I don't know how many twin births you've been able to see firsthand, right up front. I doubt a lot. I don't know if you Google this. How many times does one stick out a hand, stick it back in, another child comes out? Can't imagine that the astronomical amount of times. That would be my just leaving guess offhand. Probably a rare occurrence. And he named it. So they say, no. What Yehuda realized was that the concept of Peretz means kingdom. You break through. Why? Because a king, when he wants to go somewhere, it doesn't go around. He goes through. He breaks fences and goes through. There's all basic stuff. So when Yehuda heard the nurse say it, without going with Charles' good answer, that it could be the Shekhinah, when he heard the nurse say such an odd phrase on such an odd occurrence, he realized breakthrough, click, that's going to be a king. We're going to name him Peretz. Mm. Now, 10 generations.
What about the red thread? What's the significance?
Wait. It even says that, just to show you how serious this is, that Shaul, there's a Gemara in Yevamos, 86:6. The Gemara says that when Shaul HaMelech, Golias Goliath came forth, and he was fighting an army. This is in Shmuel Aleph in chapter 17. And he said, listen, we don't have to stop killing each other. One-on-one, mano-a-mano. Bring me a guy, I win, we win, you take us all. Winner takes all, literally. And no one of the Jews wanted to step up. And David HaMelech says, I'll step up. And he steps up to the plate, and it says Shaul tried to give him his clothing, and it fit. Even though we already know from the Chumash earlier that Tanakh says that Shaul was taller than everyone. He was shoulders above everybody, physically and spiritually. How did the clothing fit? And then David takes the clothing off. He doesn't wear it. And he goes with the rock. And the rock rolls through the metal. And he kills Goliath. At the end of the chapter, Shaul turns to Avner. And he has a very strange phrase. It says, it's a Pasuk and Navi. And it says, hold on. Ucharoi Shaul is David. When Shaul saw David, Yoitzu l'kroyis ha-plishti, going against the Goliath, Amar Avner, he said to Avner, the head general, Sarat Zavah, Ben mi anarazeh, Avner. Who is this guy? Gemara says, who is this guy? Shaul's been dealing with David for a long time. Okay, this is not a senior moment as we have with certain people who are leading the generations. So he's like, so the Gemara says, this can't be. What does that mean? After all, David spent time, he was playing a musician. He was a musician in front of him. So he says, oh, maybe it's his father. Look at the phrase. It says, doesn't say who is this person. Who is he? Is he the son of who? So the Gemara says, oh, maybe he didn't mean, I don't know who David is. Of course, David is my musician. But who's his father? The Gemara says, no. Yishai was a very famous person, as we just said. Yishai was one of the few people that never sinned. Yishai created the David. Yishai created a bunch of kids. And the Gemara says, it can't be. He didn't know who Yishai was either. So what does it mean, who's he the son? So Gemara says, I'll tell you what the question was. The question was, this. Just to read the English, Hachi Kamasho, Imi Peretz Asi, Imi Zerach Asi. Because I know Yishai is from David, but I wonder which one of these two sons he's from. Is he from Peretz? Which means, they explain, he's going to usurp the kingdom. He has the ability because Peretz is going to lead kingdom. Peretz has Malchus. Peretz has it because he jumped out first. He doesn't go around. He goes through. Then Shaul says, I got to be nervous. Paranoid people have enemies. If this guy just took down Goliath and he comes from Peretz, that means what? He's going to be wearing the crown. Or does he come from Zarach? Very, very impressive. Yehuda dynasty, all good stuff, but that's not kings. That's leaders, but not kings. So his question when he says, whose son is he? He knew his name, the musician. He knew his father's name. He said, no, no. And that everyone knew. And Abner also said, I'm not sure. Why? Because they got to take out the genealogy charts and go back from David to Peretz, which we just said a minute ago at the end of Rus, which is the final of Sukkim Rus. Is how many generations? 10 generations. So we have here three women, but two right away, that the husband, that three women, that the relationships are, we have Rus and Boaz. We have Yehuda and Tamar. We had David, father, Yishai and David's mother. We know, we spoke about a few times, that where does Rus come from? Moab, where does Moab come from? A daughter having relations with her father. These are all very strange situations. So what the Shlosh says is here, Turasai, Hassan said, beautiful. They shall both be Kodesh. He says, when you do things proper, it's Kodesh. And at certain times, the Turah, the switcheroo, also is Kodesh. Because you have to hide it. Since this was, according to Kabbalistic writings, the evil inclination was magnifying glass, looking around and saying, yeah, I'm going to know where that seed from Dove is going to come. I'm going to kill it. I'm going to ruin it. So what they did was, is they covered it up in mud, in scandalous relations. Or, you could say a little bit, they gave it as a tribute to him. Depends on similar things. And they told the evil inclination, you don't have to worry about this relationship. He's looking at who? He's looking at Abraham. He's looking at Yitzchak. He's looking at Yaakov. He's not looking at Lot with his daughter. He's looking at Yishai with his real wife, not when Yishai is doing something. He's looking at Boaz, Galadar, with a money woman, with the whole world's against him. And it starts working that way, but that's where the David dynasty comes from. And what the Shlosh says, opens it up. He says, how do I know this? Again, which is always read right before Shavuos. We have anagrams. And the word, Tmurasai, I don't know if anagrams are Tamar and Rus. Both names are there. So he says, again, he was a Shalach HaKadosh. He says that you want to know about the tributes, about the hiding it in mud, whatever exact terminology you want to use, that's going to create the David dynasty. Tmurasa Yia Kodesh. That's exact pasuk. Who with Tmurasa? Let's read the pasuk here. Well, it says, yeah, Pasuk Yud. Who utmurasa yeh kodesh? Both are going to be kodesh. Which means sometimes you got to get into the mud. What do the snipers do? They put all the stuff on top of them. You can't see them. Camouflage, good word. They got to camouflage the situation. That's what happens. So we're coming into an incredible story here of Shaul HaMelech being very afraid. Who is this person? What's his genealogy? Not who he is, who his father is. Where does he come from? Oh, he's all the way up to Peretz? Shaul HaMelech knew the situation. He said, David himself, I don't know if he knew about David's marriage. David was considered an out-of-wedlock child for a long time. I'm not nervous about that. I got to find where all this stuff is coming from. So what happens is, as a lead-up to why the story of Rus was even read, is to tell you the beauty of King David. And how the Torah knows itself, it sometimes has to hide things. It works this way. Go.
Question
you're
is,
enjoying it.
Question is,
Keith, you're enjoying this. We never. Is anyone online? Is go.
I've heard that the word kodesh.
Kodesh.
Kodesh also could mean a zona, like a negative.
Same idea. Excellent. Sometimes so word, because kodesh means the word kodesh, as we say, holiness, also means separated from the separated. So the pasuk says a woman should not be a kadesha, which means a harlot, prostitute. Same idea. She separates herself because most people don't do that stuff. She separates herself with that type of job title. But there is a concept, again, very good connection, of kodesh to kadesha. But here we have a very, very idea that the reason, again, why the nurse said such a funny thing, he broke through. Broke through. What's breaking through what? So they want to say one explanation of the breakthrough is that you have to, they say, it's not me. They say that, they tie it into the words of the Shlosh. I didn't see it so much in the words of the Shlosh, to be honest, but they say it's there, is that in order to have this messianic dynasty, you have to cover it in camouflage And that's where it's going to break through. It's going to. So when it said, when the nurse said, she said, could be Shechina. I don't mind that at all. When the nurse said such a funny phrase, Ma parata lecha peret, he broke through. And Yehuda says, oh, let's name
it. Just to the like, baby. She's talking to the baby. You broke through. Not it broke through, but you broke through.
Words of this. And she said, yeah, with what, it is articles in English, but with what strength you asserted yourself. Very strange. Yeah. And we add on, very simple, we add on as well. One of the most famous questions. We discussed this years ago. If Stephen remembered, I'd be happy. That the Torah says that the nation of Moab was allowed to be more mistreated than the nation of Ammon. They both came from the daughters, the two separate daughters, both had sons. Why? Because the Gemara says, because Moab was more inappropriate by the fact that she named her child. Moab means from my father. Ammon means my nation. So you named it, you didn't speak even in that lack of modesty in naming your child. So he said, okay, you have less, we have to be less nice to you. There's something missing in that genes. And we told him a famous story. But Moshe Feinstein used to say this story over every year in Purim. When he was in Russia, he came across in the 30s. He was a genius, obviously, first-class genius. He was in Russia, had some very fascinating stories. And one of them was, I think he was in the city of Luban or something. And there was a person in the next town who got, I think it's either tongue or throat cancer. Something very, very, very strange. And it was really bad. And he was not going to make it. And then he came to Rav Moshe Feinstein. My joke to you guys years ago was, when Rav Moshe got this sent to him, he must have known he's surviving any world or two. He left before. But he must have known he's alive to repeat this to the world. And the person came to Rav Moshe's house. He said, I want to tell you something. I'm finished. I have less than a day left. Stage 9 cancer, as someone said today. I'm finished. I just want to tell you that I had a dream last night. And in the dream, two incredibly beautiful spiritual angels came to me. Women. And I'm like, who are you? What are you? What are you guys doing here? They said, we were the ones who put this hex on you. We're the ones who made the disease upon you because we're calling you to the heavenly courts for a trial. And that's why you're going to pass away tonight, because good news and bad news. There's baseball in heaven and you're pitching on Friday, the famous joke. Good news and bad news. You're coming to court tonight. So he turned to me and goes, you know, as Stephen likes to say, what favor did I do to you that you come and ask me like this? What are you? I don't even know what you two are. I haven't met you in my life. And they said, we are the two daughters of light. And you as a somewhat of a rabbi has been disparaging us for years and making fun of us with this Talmud passage that says that, oh, you didn't have the guts to name him John and Clear or John and Stuart, regular white names. No. What I'm naming, regular names, no, you named him Mayav and Amon. You're not even so embarrassed. And her response in the dream was, I'll give you what the prosecuting angels are. Here's the testimony we're coming out against you. I named him Mayav because I knew there was going to be people later on who were going to claim that there's such a thing called an immaculate conception. And I didn't want that people thinking it, that that's what I had over here to create a messianic dynasty out of something like that. And instead, I tell people straight out, it came from my father. Moshe Hub is adding on 2 points to the story. And Ramosh should say the story off. One is, she knew in the mud it's coming out of a messianic dynasty, which means that's what she was trying to say. I need the mud. I need people to think, oh, she had relations with her father. That's the camouflage. It wasn't just that people shouldn't think. The story, correctly, by Rav Moshe, was people shouldn't think it's immaculate. Based on what Haskell said earlier, I just thought of something else. Not that people shouldn't think it. No, people should think it's not immaculate. I want them to think it. I want the camouflage to come through.
Because she took the bullet to think mm-hmm. that, I know I did incest, and now you know I did it. There's no miracles happening here. Know that I had incest with my father.
And why was she doing it? Because so the first answer is just to say not like somebody else of another religion. Of 1,000 years later, another religion. That's what Moshe said the guy told him. They say, don't think 1,000 years later, another religion. I'm saying more than that. If they would have, this soul, Peretz, was coming out here. No, but it's like, but I thought it was creating Mayav, which carried in a genetic soul that later on is going to have Rust. You need the mud on top. You needed it. So she wanted people to say it was a illicit relations mm-hmm. to keep the evil side away, to keep the Tzvur side away. She's the Rus' side.
Oh,
she's Rus' great grandmother.
and bad.
She's Rus's great grandma. Okay. But even the even then, the nation of Moab came out of it, which had Rus in it. So you had to put the camouflage on to avoid the issue.
So Rabbi Feinstein tells over this story.
Rabbi Feinstein, it's in the last volume of the Igros Moshe, the letters of Rabbi Moshe, printed posthumously in the introduction.
So they have posthumously.
No, no, no. They said it every year. And when you spoke to people, Rabbi Bluthman, they said Rabbi Moshe used to repeat the story every year. Every year he used to say something about this guy who said it. But anyway, so now we have the relations that we said. It was Lloyd and his daughters, Yehuda and Tamar, Boaz and Rus. And in between that, we have David. That was mother, Yishai and his wife, all as a tribute to camouflage it. And we're saying that she purposely said it to make sure it was camouflaged. So in the end, what we could say is that them claiming immaculate conception is a negative. No? We hold that the messianic revelation has to come through an illicit public relations, not a godly relations. Anyway, so the word tmura is a common. Now, you have to know why only Rus and Tamar of more of a connection than Yishai's mother.
Yishai's wife.
Yishai's wife and, okay, Benoist Light makes sense. That's us. They're not even Jewish at that point, maybe. No, Noah is Tamar. That's both before Sinai. We got to figure that out.
Tamar had to convert.
No, that's all pre-Sinai. I'm saying that's all pre-Sinai.
But she was Jewish.
Yeah, whatever that means. I'm saying the Shlod discusses those two. He doesn't really discuss the other two as much. But this is the idea that So the messianic revelation is going to come through these things. I think there always is a Mashiach alive, not revealed. Maybe, but I don't know.
Oh, see. And he's going to break through.
Right. We got a breakthrough. And it's got to be against what the people are saying. Against what the people are saying. Irrelevant. But the breakthrough is also to say, maybe we'll do that more next week. Remind me. Next week we'll do about the breakthrough. We'll continue the breakthrough next week.
All right. So thank you very much, Rabbi.
Stephen, good job.